Lord God, we just come before you. We bless your holy name. We just thank you so much for all that you do. And we thank you for the freedom, Lord, that we can come here and we can worship you publicly and we can learn your word, Lord. And there's so many places where people are struggling to even have this freedom, God. You have to meet in houses and things, and it's hard to gather. But, Lord, we're thankful for that. We're thankful for the little things in life as well as the big things. I pray, Lord, that you would just direct and guide me, Lord, as I'm preaching this message. And also that your anointing would be over our youth teachers, over our children's church teachers with the Kingdom Kids, that they would learn what they need to learn, Lord. And, Lord, grab a hold of our hearts. I pray that we would be changed, Lord, that we would leave this place with something, with a conviction, Lord, of reaching others with our faith. That we wouldn't be afraid, Lord, to share the good news with others, Lord. Bless us, I pray, in our time of study. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. We're in our study. I'll go ahead and leave it there. We're in our study in Philippians called A Surrendered Life. And our verses, there's Matthew 28:19, but the main verse in Philippians, we're in chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 12 through 18 this morning. I was doing some research, and in a recent study by Barna Group, they're kind of like the Gallup poll for a lot of, for Christians and having to do with religious studies. But they asked people back in 1993 if... They said, do you believe that is the responsibility of every believer to share their faith? And back then, about 90% said yes. And they did the same survey. They asked that question last year, right? So this is 25 years later. And they asked the question again. Only 64% said yes. Wow, that's a huge drop. Like from 9 out of 10 Christians saying, yeah, I believe that we're supposed to share our faith, to only maybe 2/3. Now, why is that? Why the shift in the attitude of talking about Jesus or talking about our faith, what we believe? Well, I think there's three possible answers, three major ones. There's probably more, but I would say one is the fear of sharing our faith, or fear of being rejected, right? So we live in a time of... We're a political division, if you will, where sometimes, depending upon who you're around, you're just wondering how they're going to react. Because some people don't react well to us talking about religion or talking about our faith. And so you might feel that you're going to get rejected. Well, I don't know. I don't want to put it out there. I don't know what's going to happen. And... sometimes it is not knowing enough. You talk about Jesus, and then somebody asks you, well, if God is good, why is there so much evil and suffering in the world? And you're just like, oh, great. Okay. And maybe you're not ready to answer a big question like that. Or the third reason, I think, is that maybe just a lot of Christians in the church today aren't even aware of what the Great Commission is. How many of you guys know what the Great Commission is? Have you ever heard that term, Great Commission? Raise your hand. Okay, so we need a little bit of education. All right, Matthew 28:19 is the Great Commission. This is when Jesus was risen from the dead, and before he went to heaven, he spoke to his disciples, and he gave them this commandment. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was not addressing just the 12. He wasn't addressing just the apostles. He wasn't saying, okay, you pastors and you evangelists, you know, you go out and you got to save everybody. That's not what he was saying. He was saying it is the responsibility of every Christian. You know what a disciple is? It's somebody who is following Christ. That's everybody. And when he was talking, he wasn't talking to Peter, James, John. He wasn't talking to 3 or 12. He was talking to a whole mess of people, probably a conference of like 500 people at one time Jesus spoke to, in a gathering of at least 500 before he lifted up into heaven. And so he's saying this is the Jesus' last words, right? So if somebody's last words are kind of important, right? Don't you think? And his last words to us are, go and make disciples. Now, all nations, the word is ethno, which is ethnos or ethnic, where we get the term ethnic or people group. So the gospel is to be spread to every people group. And so look how many people groups are in America. So it's not necessarily just being a missionary overseas, but we can be a missionary in our own backyard. Amen? How about Hawaii? Because, you know, we're all chop suey, right? Some of you guys are like, what is that? That means that we're a blend. We're a blend of many different cultures. You know, we come in and then we learn to be ohana. We learn to be family. But the thing is, there is so much opportunity, even in our own backyard, to be a missionary. What is the gospel? Gospel, the word in the New Testament, in the Greek, if you want to know, is evangel, which is where we get the word evangelistic. So evangelists are not, or evangelistics, or evangelicals, aren't just a group of Christians. Oh, those are evangelicals. No, all Christians are supposed to be evangelical. Do you hear what I mean? Do you hear what I said? All Christians are called to be evangelical. All Christians are called to share the gospel. And so it's not a matter of a particular sect or denomination. It's a call for everybody. And the gospel is simply this, that God created us. He created this world and he created us. But we decided to rebel and betray him. And when we did that, something broke in us. We describe that today as sin, is this rebellion against God. And you think, well, I can't be responsible for something somebody did 2,000 or thousands of years ago or whatever at the beginning of the earth getting populated, but we continue to do it today. We continue to have a rebellious attitude towards our Creator. We find any and every way we can make it in this world without believing in God. There's a lot of that going on today. So you don't tell me it was just, oh, it was just something Adam and Eve did. No, we continue to do it. And but God loves us so much. Like a good parent, you know, you see your child going wayward, but you're reaching out to them. You're trying to love on them. And so God reached out to us and loved on us to bring us back to him, even to the point of death, willing to come in human flesh and die on the cross for our sins. And then he rose again from the dead. He broke the power over sin, the rebellion in us, and over death, that if we would accept him into our lives, if we would surrender our life to him, that we would be transformed and we will be with him for all eternity. That is the gospel. Amen? Now, I don't know how you tweet the gospel. Anybody do that? Because if you can do that, it's pretty good. Because I was trying to tweet like 140 characters or less. Wow. I imagine you can try. Some of you guys are going, what's tweeting? Never mind. It's not a little yellow bird. It's something else. But what ways can we advance the gospel? Let's look. I'm going to look at the Apostle Paul. Now, he was in jail when he wrote this letter to the church of Philippi. And he says this, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial garden to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. Really? Isn't that kind of weird? Some people preach the gospel just to be on tantarai, right? They just want to be, oh, look at me. That's crazy. But they're out there. And he goes on. This is his attitude, though. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Wow. What's he saying there? He's saying that even if people are preaching the gospel correctly, even if they're doing it with the wrong motive, I mean, God's going to deal with them, but God's still going to use that message. Isn't that awesome? God can still take that word and he can still use it. These aren't false teachers. These are guys that are just, you know, they're, oh, Paul's in prison. Oh, I'm going to, you know, it's all about me kind of thing, right? It's all about them. But I look at him, and he's in prison, and he's writing this. And what's the first thing? I want you to know, brothers, what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. The thing we got to realize, gang, is people are watching us. People are watching you. I have a my oldest granddaughter, Danity, she's going to be 10 years old. She watches YouTube, okay? Now, I don't know if you have noticed, but kids don't, they don't watch TV as much as they watch YouTube now. And they have their favorite YouTube channels. And she watches this family. It's just, he's not a celebrity. He's not an actor. Well, I guess he's a celebrity now. But he has his own YouTube channel. Some person to just put some cameras in their home. And they just live their life. And they do fun stuff with their kids. And they record it. They upload it. And somehow they get paid for it. I'm thinking, this is a racket. Like, how can I get in on this? You know what I'm saying? There's something about this whole reality show thing that just entices people. We're interested in other people's lives, right? Why write a story when you could just stick a camera in somebody's home and watch the drama? Well, that's crazy. Do you see what they did this week? Imagine having that. That's all you got to do to be a celebrity today. Just be willing to, hey, people are watching our lives anyways here. Let's just put some cameras here, some audio. Yeah, okay, you guys are all being recorded and just watch what happens, you know. Not for me. But I look at that and I think, wow. The Apostle Paul kind of had his own little reality show going on. He's in jail. He's the center of attention. People are visiting him. See, Paul wasn't just in some obscure jail. He was in jail in Rome. That's like our Washington, D.C., right? It's the very center of the Western Empire of the world. And not only was he in Rome, but basically he was being guarded by those in Caesar's palace. And so He's got the Roman guards. He's got the people, the workers in the palace that come to feed him. He's got all these people that are surrounding surrounding Caesar. And he's talking, oh, have you heard about Jesus? Oh, let me tell you about Jesus. Hey, come here a minute, right? And he's got a captive audience. He's not the captive they are. He's not the one that's captive. They're captive. What are they going to do? This is my job. I got to listen to this guy all day long. Oh, buddy, I'm using this opportunity. And he does. The devil had no idea what was going on when Paul went to prison. And he was probably wishing, oh, I wish that didn't push the Jews to do that. I wish that didn't happen. Too late. And he's in there working it. And he's witnessing, and he's testifying, and he's saying how great God is. And it's going through the whole palace. It's going through the whole guard. And it took 250 years, but guess what? They forgot about Zeus and Venus and all that stuff. And guess what? Rome became Christian. Amen? I mean, that's sometimes we don't realize our impact will go long after we're gone from this world. And so we shouldn't be discouraged when we don't see something right in front of us, the fruit of our labors. Oh, don't get bent out of shape about that. Maybe the fruit of your labors is way in the future. But you need to be faithful now. Because God knows what he's doing. Amen? So, people are watching you. But notice that he's in a crisis too. I mean, he's in jail. And he knows where this is going. The thing is that God may use our crisis to speak to other people. Sometimes we're in a difficult situation because we put ourselves there and maybe the Lord wants to correct us. Sometimes we're in a difficult situation because we got to learn something, right? We got to learn something, or maybe it's a correction. But did you know? Now, I know this is not popular, but sometimes you're in a difficult situation because it has nothing to do with you. You're just a lovely child of God, and you're just in a situation, but you know what? Whatever the devil's meaning for evil, God will use it for good. You hear what I'm saying? Whatever is going on in your life, whatever crisis, God can use it for his glory. God can use it. He can use the situation you're going through because people are looking at how you deal with life. How do you handle the hard things that go on? Do you just fall apart? Right? You know, people just freak out. I lost my job. I lost my girlfriend, right? And they go shoot up an entire campus. Right? People check out. 13 Reasons Why I Should Not Be on Netflix. Shame on these people. Glorifying suicide. You know, people are looking for hope. And the world's just giving them a way to check out. Say, that's okay. No, God doesn't want you checking out. He wants you to check in with him. Because he has got hope. And he's got a reason for you to live. You know, it's when I look at what the Apostle Paul was going through, and I try to imagine myself in that prison cell. And well, it was probably kind of nice. Maybe it wasn't a dank cell. I think it was probably a little bit nicer, but still, he's confined. There's not a lot of places he can go. I mean, you and I can, we're distracted with all these things, but sometimes when we're distracted, when we've got so many things that we can do in life, sometimes the gospel or sharing the gospel is the last thing on our mind. But when you're confined to a situation, when you're sick in bed, or if you're just can't go anywhere, sometimes all you can do is either pray for other people or witness to them. I had a friend, Victor Marcille. Dear friend, pastor, small church kind of like ours for many years. And he was dying of cancer. And I went to visit him in the hospice over here. At that time, it was Queens. I mean, at that time, it was St. Francis. And I went in there, and he had this big grin. I was like, why do you have this big smile on your face? He goes, Dave, I have had more opportunity to witness to these people about Jesus. It's amazing, you know. And I think for a small church pastor, that was really encouraging because for us, we kind of struggle. I mean, we're not like, you know, the Billy Graham type, so it's like, boom, you know, I see the hand. We're equippers. We're pastors. We bind up the broken, right? You guys come hurt and limping, and we're like, okay, let me help you with that, right? That's kind of what we're called to do. We don't necessarily see all the fruit, like when you guys go out and share your faith and stuff like that. But we do hear the stories, and that's encouraging. But I think for him it was so encouraging because it was like he was telling me, man, Dave, there were so many things that I wanted to do. But look at what God is doing with me right now. I'm about to go meet him, and on the way I'm taking people with me. Wow. You know, and I loved him so dearly. And I remember I went to that funeral. It was packed, standing room only, right? It's a little church in Neva Beach. But the impact that he made. And so we can't get bummed out when we're doing something for God, right? Know that God's going to use you. And we can't get bummed out. Hey, we're in a crisis. We're going through difficulties. But God can use it. Now, I want to share briefly there's another side to sharing the gospel, and that's called defending the gospel. Notice he said defend. Now, what that word is in the Greek, and again, I'm sorry I'm giving you so many Greek words, but if you look at it in the Greek, the word is apologia. It means to make a defense. And for anybody who's in the legal profession, that's what that term is. Basically, you're like a defense lawyer. Okay, so you're defending your client. Now, in this context, he's defending the gospel. to defend the gospel is called apologetics. Okay, and people, oh my gosh, this is about science and history. Well, yeah, that's involved in it. But it's really important to defend the gospel. It's the other side of evangelism. Evangelism gets out there, Jesus loves you, God's got a plan for your life, he died on the cross for your sins. If you accept him into your life, you will be saved and you'll go to heaven. Amen? Awesome. Well, but I got questions. And then, this is where, if people got those questions, you can go find the answers. Some of you guys can just go on the back of that card that we have. If you invite people to church, it's called True Life, just go to that. There's a whole bunch of answers on there. But this is something that is a part of my life. I have had a passion for apologetics. And let me tell you why it's so important. There was a book that was written, a study was done called Already Gone. And what they did is they wanted to find out why teenagers leave the church. Why do kids, I mean, not kids outside the church, but why do kids inside the church that grow up in the church go to Sunday school, go to youth class, be into mom and dad, one day just, okay, I'm done. And they're the hardest to get back into church. Why? And this is what they found out. They found out that the reason that these kids gave, and they interviewed a lot of these kids, like 13 to 18, the reason a lot of them gave is, one, the Bible seems to contradict science. So you're telling me a bunch of stories, but during the week I'm hearing from teachers about evolution and science and all this, and what you say doesn't match. Okay, that's one reason. The other is that those big questions, they don't know, well, if God is good, why is all this evil and suffering? And so they have these questions. And this might shock you, but they just did a survey. This is recent. You want to know what your kids believe, right? 13 to 18. Let me tell you something. The general population is 6% atheist in America. You want to know what Gen Z is, what they call them, the 13 to 18-year-olds right now? 13% atheist. Let that sink in for a minute. 13% atheist. Why? The two questions I just gave you, the whole science thing and not being able to answer big questions. See, we of the older generation are going, well, hey, I don't need that. Jesus loves me. That's good enough for me. Good for you. And no one can argue with your story. But your kids need a little more. And so this is why about 2 or 3 years ago, we switched our curriculum for Kingdom Kids, for your kids. We teach them out of Answers in Genesis. Now, there are different views and stuff, but every lesson that they have, if there's science or there's history involved, it's backed up by research. And your kids get the connection. So when they go to school, they're like, yeah, I heard a different story in the... But they have research to back up what they're saying. So we're not just, so you know, our kids aren't just hearing us talk, but they're hearing, oh, wait a minute, this is actually real. This is facts. This is backed up by history. This is, the Bible's a history book. All right, I didn't know that. Oh, you know, it's not a science book, but it doesn't contradict science. And I don't want to get into all the particulars of that, but I didn't have time to print out a paper, but I can direct you to books if you want to read on it. But just go to Netflix, I think, and there's a video, it's about 2.5 hours, called Is Genesis History? Fascinating. Have a whole bunch of scientists on there, incredible work that's been done, and they kind of take you through Genesis, and you meet geologists, and you meet all these guys, and it'll blow you away. But I guarantee your kids will be interested. So if we want to reach the next generation, gang, it's not that we all of a sudden got to be super smart. It's just that we can't ignore this. You know, if you don't know the answers, at least know where to go. And the awesome thing is hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of books have been written on all these things for ages. All the stuff we need, all the resources are available. But we just need to be aware. Amen? And I think... finishing up with this, we kind of got to get past our fear. I don't know about you, but I know it seems awkward sometimes to share the gospel with people that you don't really know, or sometimes people that you do know, because you got to see them so often, you're like, oh, if I mess this up, and then I got to come back. But I'll give you one example. It's not that hard. I have those little cards, and I don't know if we have some more on the back table, but to invite to church. And I was at the gas station, and some lady needed jumper cables, and she needed to get her car jumped. And I thought, oh, she asked me, she said, you look like you had a friendly face, so I just wanted to ask you, do you have jumper cables? I said, yeah, sure. So I said, well, that's good. I did have a friendly face. I didn't have my scowl on, like, okay, now I am. Next guy. So that made me feel good. I said, oh, okay. And so I went in there, and I was helping her get her car started. And we were just talking story, and I just said, hey, I want to ask you, do you happen to go to church at all? Oh, once in a while, I go with my mom up there, so-and-so. Whatever she had mentioned, she goes, once in a while, I don't really go to church that much. I go, well, let me invite you. If you're ever in the neighborhood, and it was that simple, oh, thank you. Boom. I didn't have, let me tell you the gospel in three steps here. This is what you need to be saved. Just roll up the pulpit on wheels. And that's not how it works. It's not that awkward. We make this hard. You just got to talk story with people, right? That's the local ways. And we just got to be conversational. You listen to them, right? You know, the easiest way to witness to somebody at work? You ever wonder, well, how do I sneak this in, or how do I weave Jesus into this conversation? You ever wonder, like, how do you do that? The easiest is to say, hey, what'd you do this weekend? Oh, man, yeah, I went over here at a party. What'd you do? I went to church. You know? I love it. Depending, you get so many different reactions. Oh, well, that's good for you. Oh, yeah, okay. Because they just got there telling you what they did or their weekend, right? But that, actually, that's where the younger guys, as you get older, it's more like, oh, I did something with my kids, or we had a picnic or whatever. But, oh, you go to church? Oh, that's cool. And it's a great opening. Sometimes it's dead. Sometimes, oh, yeah, I went to church. Crickets. Okay. I'm moving along. Hey, how about those Steelers? Yeah? Right? Okay, stop it. This is not on Jersey Sunday here. Say, we don't argue about theology, but man, you start talking football, and people get all crazy. But you know what I'm saying? Get past your fear. It's not that hard. Just and ask them about their life. Be interested in them. Don't just be so interested in what you need to say to them. I got to get the gospel out. Pastor said, I got to get the gospel out. Just be normal. Just have a conversation. Take a deep breath. It's not rocket science. Just, oh, what'd you do this weekend? Just try that. Believe me, it opens up a whole door, and you can have this long conversation. All they ask is what they did this week, and they were telling me a lot, and then I tell them a lot. And it was, and then you walk away going, wow, Lord, you used me. That was neat. That wasn't hard. That didn't hurt. I thought it would hurt. It didn't hurt. I think I'm going to do it again. It's not hard. And I really, when I say I close with this, I really mean I close with this, but because I got to get going. But let's know the value of what you have. If someone was going to give you the formula for curing cancer, you think that would be valuable? You would take that, right? If I had the formula, wow, this will cure cancer 100%. Wow. I would share that with everybody I could. But how many of you guys think that everybody would be like, yeah, I'll take that? No, some people will be like, some kind of scam. What's this? New MLM. You know what I'm saying? People are just weary, right? And so, no, no, you don't understand. And here's all the research and everything. But this will help you. This will cure, you know, what you've got. I don't know. I don't know. Okay, okay. Well, then you would move on to the next person. And you would find people who would be willing to take it and accept it. And because why? You know that it works. You know that you know that you know that it works. And what we have is the gospel. And the cancer we have is sin. And we know that we know that we know what God has done in our life. And that he's delivered us in that we're going to be with him for all eternity. We know that he is the cure. And so sometimes we go to people and maybe they don't want to hear the cure. That's okay. Okay. But we're not going to be discouraged. Because even though they've rejected the cure, you still got it. And somebody's going to accept it. So I'm going to keep going to the next person until they accept it. Well, they're not going to believe I have the cure for cancer. I don't care. I want to share with as many people as possible. And so when we have the gospel, we need to understand the value of what we have. It is the key to life, the key to eternity. It's everything. It's the key to freedom. It's the key to not being mastered by anything in this world. Total freedom. God can break you of any addiction. God can break you of anything that's been mastering you in your life. The things that doctors and psychologists and so many people have tried to do, but have really kind of failed at over the years, they try. God can do it. But it takes faith in him, right? And I'm not saying it's easy. And it's not always overnight. And for some people, it's a process. It's a journey. But we have faith in God. He can deliver. He doesn't say, I'll just give you a little bit. He will give us power in our life through his Holy Spirit who comes to dwell within us to deliver us from anything that is holding us back from being who he's called us to be. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we come before you. We thank you for all that you have done, for dying on the cross for our sins, for rising again from the dead, for breaking the power over sin and death. And Lord, I know that some of us struggle. We feel awkward sharing the gospel with others. We love you, Lord, but we have a hard time sometimes. Some people seem to be really good at it. I don't know. But Lord, I pray that you would just strengthen us, encourage us, give us those opportunities. Help us to have open eyes to see the people around us through your eyes. Help us to have that compassion and the love that you have for them. And to not be discouraged as we reach out and share of your love. Go with us, we pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, God bless you guys. Have a great week.